It was a huge day in America. Half the population of the country in 1938, 60 million Americans, were tuned in to the radio broadcast.
Here is the biggest show on earth. Joe Louis, the world's heavyweight champion, versus Max Schmeling, Germany's contender.
20 million people were listening in Germany, too, where it was the middle of the night. And in New York, in Yankee Stadium, fans poured in to see heavyweight Joe Louis, whom they called the Brown Bomber, back in the ring with German fighter Max Schmeling for the second time.
I took off. Whenever Joe Louis was fighting, that was my day off. They knew it. The people I worked for knew it.
Jim Clark, an ex-amateur fight trainer and pro golf caddy, was there that night. He'd waited online to get seats.
Down on 49th and Broadway, down the old Brill Building, you just go over there early in the morning. You stand there in line to get tickets, and even then, people were very enthused and talking about old different fights they had seen.
He just loved going to the fights. It was always an occasion.
People dressed so nice. Everybody dressed super, you know, like they were going to a big affair. Shoes always shine. Even the women, they dress nice.
But most people were listening on their radio.
Tobacco Company, makers of Lucky Strike cigarettes, for their courtesy in relinquishing the period.
The fights and radio sort of grew up together in a way.
Author David Margalek, his new book, Beyond Glory, tells the whole story of the political and racial issues swirling around this particular fight on the eve of World War II. Part of the story is radio, and fights on radio were as big as it got in those days.
You could walk down the streets of New York and hear the sounds of the radio. You have to remember that these were the days before air conditioning. The big fights were always in the summer. And on fight night, not only would the streets be quiet, but you could hear the sounds of the fights coming out of everybody's apartment.
And in an America divided by racism, a Joe Louis fight wasn't just any fight.
Joe Louis was a hero of unimaginable dimensions. Unimaginable in a sense because he's been forgotten. But when you go back and you read the black press,
Joe Louis, world heavyweight champion,
you're struck by how his every move was chronicled minutely.
What are you going to have for breakfast, Joe?
Everything he did was newsworthy.
I have a couple of lamb chops, a couple of eggs, and a cup of tea.
Sounds pretty good. Do you ever change the menu?
And everybody wanted to see him box. He was just so exciting.
You have to go back 2 years before that, to 1936, to see what was at stake. That was the first fight between Joe Louis and Max Schmeling, an opportunistic fighter who'd become a tool of the Nazi regime. He'd taken a scientific approach to the bout, studying Louis's flaws, looking for an opening.
Schmeling went to one of Louis's fights, and afterwards he very famously said, "I see something."
And Germany's icon of the master race went right in.
Schmeling got over two more hard rights.
Schmeling hit him with so many right hands, boy. Right cross to the chin. I think it was 12 rounds he went.
That first fight between them was a real upset.
It was a catastrophe, and there are many descriptions of how the wind was knocked out of African America that night.
On the other side, the German Max Schmeling was lionized as never before.
The Nazis really embraced him, and that was when films of the fight at Hitler's personal decree were shown all over Germany, entitled Schmeling's Victory, a German Victory.
So after that, everything was hanging on the rematch in June of 1938.
15 rounds.
And not only tensions between America, Germany, Jews, Nazis, good and evil, it was the racial equivalent of a showdown, too.
Wearing purple trunks.
Boxing was really the only integrated sport. And Louis came along. He was a black man who was licensed to slug a white man and not get lynched. I mean, Malcolm X said that later on.
The old slogan of boxing may the best man win.
All of black America lived vicariously through Joe Louis.
Clem McCarthy, a horse race announcer who'd moved over to work the fights, tried desperately to keep up with the action for the radio audience.
To Max's jaw, a right to his head. Max shoots a hard right to Louis. Lewis with the old 1-2.
It's one of the immortal moments in the history of radio.
He got over a hard right and then stabbed Max with a good straight left jab.
He captured the flavor of the occasion incomparably.
With two straight lefts to the face and brought over that hard right to the head.
It took all of a couple of minutes for Joe Lewis to do Schmeling in.
Left wing, but in close front of a hard right overcut.
He had smelling so hard in his side there, smelling hollered. He screamed. But I never heard that before in all the fights I've seen.
Right to the body, a left up to the jaw, and Schmeling is down. The count is 5, 5, 6, 7, 8. The men are in the ring. The fight is over on a technical knockout.
It managed to be so many things, that moment. A moment in sports, a historic moment in radio. Remember, this was just 4 months before Orson Welles' War of the Worlds panicked thousands and showed radio's great power. And that wasn't the half of it.
It was a moment when clarity and sunshine penetrated the fog of racial prejudice.
I'm going up to the ring to get the winner.
When the fight between two different ways of looking at the world was sort of highlighted and clarified.
You can look back at it, as some are now doing, and see it all in black and white, which seems very typical of the 30s. Politics, race, sport, radio, all in bold relief. But for those who saw it and heard it back then, was it all that? Could it have been? Maybe for some. For others, it was simpler.
They just went to a fight. They just want to see a good fight. People that really knew about boxing knew Lewis that when he came out, he was going to really murder Schmeling. It's a tough way to put it, but that's the way the fight game was, and that's what he did.
The winner and still champion, Bill Lewis!
For great sport and great symbolism, that was one powerful couple of minutes. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkill.